The U.S. House of Representatives is voting right now on an impeachment resolution against President Donald Trump. This follows Vice President Mike Pence refusing in writing to invoke the 25th Amendment and take over the presidency effectively from Trump. The House had passed a resolution calling on Pence to do that. It's the week in Washington, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this new effort to impeach the president? Would you like to see the House take more time? Do you think they're right to act swiftly? Do you think the Senate should move quickly? It looks like, as of right now, they will not do that. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Kevin Sullivan is senior correspondent for The Washington Post. He's co-author of the book Trump on Trial, The Investigation, Impeachment, Acquittal, and Aftermath. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, and thanks for tearing yourself away, I imagine, from watching that vote count roll in. Kevin, you looked closely at the previous impeachment as it was going on and in your book. What kind of things are striking you as similar or different, especially when it comes to what we're hearing from Republicans today?
I think that is the big difference. You know, in the first, we're hearing a lot of the same arguments from the Republicans that we heard last time. And last time, very passionate arguments. You know, this is a sham. It's a charade. It's just political retribution. It's revenge. There was kind of this united wall of argument from the Republicans that Democrats had just had it in for the president since even before he was elected. And this time we're hearing a lot of the same stuff, but there's also a new vein that's running through it, which is, yeah, I didn't like what I heard from the president very much either. But to impeach at this point would just be too divisive. We should be trying to bring the country together, not dividing it further. So I think that nuance in the Republican argument is different this time.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy, GOP leader, says he's not voting for impeachment, but he says, quoting, that doesn't mean the president is free from fault. The president, McCarthy says, bears responsibility for when his attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. So there are some Republicans not voting for impeachment, but not necessarily completely defending the president today. Is that a fair read?
Oh, yes, exactly. And Kevin McCarthy was the kind of the chairman of the Yeah But coalition today. You know, he said it very, very clearly. The president bears responsibility for what he said and for a lot of the violence that happened. But it's not impeachable. We should be trying to bring the country together. I mean, he was very clear on that. And, you know, and McCarthy last time was one of the real stalwart fire breathers. I mean, he was one of the president's most staunch defenders and saw absolutely nothing wrong with anything that the president had done last time.
I want to give a listen to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi talking during the debate prior to the vote, making her case here. Here's a listen.
And we know that the president of the United States incited this insurrection, this armed rebellion against our common country. He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we all love.
So that's Speaker Pelosi there. I want to also give a listen to House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Democrat from Maryland. Now here he's reading from a statement released by Representative Liz Cheney, Republican from Wyoming. He's quoting her. She didn't speak, as I understand, during the debate. Here's him reading her comments saying why she was going to vote to impeach.
The president of the United States summoned the mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. That is not some irresponsible new member of the Congress of the United States. This is the daughter of the former Republican whip and former vice president of the United States of America.
So a few Republicans, I think we're up to 9, saying they were going to vote for impeachment here, including most prominently Liz Cheney, a high-ranking Republican in Congress, being quoted there by Democrat Steny Hoyer because she didn't speak in the debate. What are you hearing from the Republicans who are jumping on board the impeachment train this time?
Well, I sort of gave up counting how many times Steny Hoyer mentioned Liz Cheney and how warmly he spoke of her father, which is kind of a new position.
Kind of a surprise,
a little bit. you know, some of the Republicans in the House have actually gone after Liz Cheney. They want her stripped of her leadership position. They think that what she said was basically, you know, betrayal of the Republican position. So I think a lot of people are, you know, there's a lot of people voting their conscience on this one. And if we're up to, I think, 7, 8, 9 Republicans, as you say, you know, it's certainly not enough to, it's a fraction of the coalition up there. But the fact that you're seeing that many is really remarkable, especially having gone through the last impeachment where it was an absolute 100% solid wall of support for the president.
I want to give a listen to a Wisconsin representative, Republican Tom Tiffany, who spoke during the debate today. He was one of the members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, who had voted to reject a couple of electoral states from Arizona and Pennsylvania. He is voting against impeachment. Here's a listen.
Joe Biden has talked about unity and healing. Is that what this is today? Is accusing Republican lawmakers of sedition and calling for their expulsion the plan for healing? Is working with Silicon Valley to digitally disappear those with whom they disagree with the plan for reconciliation?
And this is another theme, Kevin, we've heard from some Republicans saying, let's focus on getting together in unity, and impeachment is going to get in the way of that.
Right. And, you know, I think everyone up there, Democrats and Republicans, is worried about that issue. I think that maybe one of the funniest moments of the day, if there was a funny moment, was Mike Quigley, the Democrat from Illinois, is a lawyer. And he stood up and he said, you know, if I had a client who said, yes, Your Honor, I robbed the bank, but can't we all come together now and be in unite? He said, it wouldn't get too far. So I think that's the Democrats are viewing this that way. They're thinking you can't just forgive this outrage, what they see as completely outrageous behavior by the president, by calling for unity. On the other hand, the last thing the Democrats want as Joe Biden takes office is for there to be even more on his plate, for things to be even more divided. He's already got the pandemic. He's got the economy. He's got race relations. There's so much on the incoming president's plate that to have one more thing dividing him, it was something I'm sure that they thought about very, very hard and long.
We're talking to Kevin Sullivan, senior correspondent for The Washington Post. He's co-author of the book Trump on Trial. That's about the first impeachment of President Trump. We're talking about the second impeachment ongoing as we speak right now. You can share your thoughts. Email us ideas at WPR.org. Or if you're watching all this on Twitter, take a moment, tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let's look ahead a moment, Kevin. I think it's clear that the House will end up passing this. The Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, it hadn't been clear if he was going to act quickly to go to a Senate trial. That looks like it is not likely at this point. What are we hearing right now?
That's right. McConnell said today that the earliest the Senate would come back is the day before the inauguration. And it just doesn't seem likely at this point that there will be a trial. I mean, wouldn't rule it out, but it doesn't seem at all likely that the Senate will take this up before the inauguration. And there's even some question about whether they would take it up immediately, you know, in the next week or so, or there has been some talk about waiting 100 days to give President Biden a chance to get his agenda moving without the distraction of a Senate trial. But, you know, we just don't know. And on McConnell, even McConnell's own position on this has been subject of some great speculation. And last time around, he left absolutely zero room for speculation. You knew precisely where he stood. He stood with the president. But this time he's saying things like, I'm going to listen, you know, at the trial, I'll listen to all the arguments, that's a new Mitch McConnell.
I think a lot of people are asking the question now, what's the point of an impeachment if it doesn't get done until the president being impeached is already out of office anyway? Why would we do that?
Exactly. Well, I think if you're Nancy Pelosi, if you're the Democrats, your answer to that is because we have a responsibility to do this. This is the strongest rebuke of the president that the Constitution has given us, and we want to express in the strongest possible terms how disgusted we are with what he did. And they say, you know, other people have said, well, maybe we should have a censure. And someone said that would be like sending Jack the Ripper a letter saying, you know, we deplore your murders. You know, this is something that the Democrats feel like they need to really put a stamp on this and really kind of draw a line in the sand and say that how strongly they feel about what he did.
Now, here's another big difference between the second Trump impeachment and the first one. Right now, the National Guard is literally camped out in the Capitol. We've seen images of them sleeping on the hard marble floors there. This comes a week after members of Congress felt justifiably that their lives were at risk because of this assault. People were calling for the hanging of the vice president, for the shooting of the House Speaker. How is that shaping how this is all working out logistically and what we're hearing from the members of Congress?
It's remarkable. Listen to the description of Washington that you just gave, and it's 100% accurate. But can you imagine? I mean, the city is really locked down. We have new metal fences everywhere. As you say, you have National Guardsmen sleeping in the Capitol with their weapons. It's just it's remarkable what's happening here. I don't think anybody really has any sense of which way this is going to go in the next few days.
Talking to Kevin Sullivan from The Washington Post, looking at the looks like still ongoing impeachment vote in the House of Representatives. You can join in. Ordinarily, we'd be taking your calls right about now. A little bit of a hiccup in the phone system, but that's okay because you can still email us, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Share your thoughts. What do you want to see come out of today? Do you think the president should be impeached a second time? Would you want to see the U.S. Senate come together maybe quickly, maybe before the inauguration to take action on a trial? Current plan is no, they're not going to do that, it sounds like. What questions do you have about how all this works? Join in again, email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with senior correspondent Kevin Sullivan at The Washington Post. It's our weekly look at the big news in national politics. We're watching the news breaking right now. The vote on the impeachment of President Trump. It is in progress right now. You can join in with your thoughts. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Now, Kevin, one concern that's been raised about this is too fast in the House. We're not taking witnesses. We're not getting all the details of what happened last week. How much have we heard from that from Republicans? And have Democrats been saying they wish they knew more whether or not they're in a hurry to vote here?
Well, I think there's no denying that this is lightning speed. The last impeachment was kind of a record, was record fast, and it took several months. This is taking an afternoon. I think the Democrats would say this is just realistic. We don't have much time. We only have 7 days remaining in this presidency. And a couple of the Democrats addressed this today, saying what we saw was so blatant and so obvious that we don't need a committee. We don't need legal scholars to come in here and tell us what he said. We saw what he said. Now, the Republicans, of course, are saying this is crazy. We've heard from no witnesses. There are different interpretations of the president's action. We should talk about the legal definition of incitement, and we should slow this thing way down and have hearings. It's a legitimate question. And I think, both sides have been thinking about it a lot.
We've heard now from Representative Michael McCaul, Republican in Texas, saying he's voting against it for the reason I just mentioned, not getting enough information at this point. He says he's going to vote against impeachment, says, I truly fear there may be more facts that come to light in the future that will put me on the wrong side of this debate. And as we learn more about what happened a week ago today, Kevin, it looks worse in hindsight. What kind of developments have you been watching over the last week to see what went down a week ago today at the Capitol?
Well, everything that comes out of everything that has come out of law enforcement in the last few days has only kind of raised more questions about, whether this was in some way coordinated, whether this did have people leading it. Was there, were there conspirators who've been planning this for some time? There are even a couple of reports that maybe there were people, actually members of Congress or members of law enforcement who were involved in this. At this point, who knows? It's a lot of noise at this point. I don't think anything's been proven, but there's so many questions. And as you say, there are more questions today than there were last Wednesday night.
We heard from Jen on Twitter who says, I wanted to tell you how I really feel, but my teeth will be removed. She clarifies, tweet, not teeth. Autocorrect is now censuring me. LOL. But strong feelings, Jen says, that she's not expressing fully. Now, one thing that's not happening this time around is President Trump is not live tweeting along with the event after being banned from Twitter, his personal account. Does that change the feel of this without that constant sort of looking over the shoulder from the president?
Well, it sure does. You know, in Trump on Trial, our book about the first impeachment, you know, the president is like a Greek chorus. The president's Twitter is, I mean, that's how we represent the president's views. You know, every couple of pages, there's another tweet from the president, because that is how he was communicating his views on this whole thing. He didn't testify. He was tweeting. So if we tried to write the same book now about this, it would be completely different there, because the president's tweets are just, and they were so instantaneous. They were so colorful. I mean, remember when the Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch was testifying last time, and Trump started tweeting attacks at her in real time, and Adam Schiff stopped the hearing to read the tweets. I mean, it was just remarkable. So yeah, that's a huge dynamic difference in this one.
Okay, now it's looking like there are enough votes to impeach, though the vote is still going on. They surpassed the amount of votes needed to impeach President Trump. According to Manu Raju from, what is he, CNN? Yes.
CNN, yeah.
10
yeah.
Republicans yeah. now have broken ranks on this. So this will be a unique moment in American history, the first president to be impeached by the House twice.
Yeah, I mean, who thought that was even possible? I mean, in the history of the country, we've only ever had two other presidents impeached ever, and this one's been impeached twice. I don't know what that means historically. I do know that it means that it just says something about how divided this country is right now, and Donald Trump's place right in the center of that, because, you know, love him or hate him, he has really caused this massive divide right down the middle of this country.
Kevin Sullivan is with us from the Washington Post, looking at the ongoing impeachment vote. They've reached the threshold now where it will pass, it looks like. Marie Lisa emailed, considering the Republican-led agreement with the issue of the steal and legitimacy of the election, how come that wouldn't equate to the legitimacy of Republicans in the congressional elections into question? And that's just one element, Kevin, of concerns about some members of Congress who led the effort to overturn the electoral ballots from some states. What are we hearing from Democrats when it comes to censure or other consequences for other members of Congress?
You know, I think the trick with a lot of these things with impeachment is just to kind of keep your eye on the ball. And there's so, you know, the ball is this vote that's happening right now. And there's so much noise that happens along the sidelines. Well, what about this? And what if that? And you said this and you said that. And it's a very good question. I mean, a lot of this people who were elected by the very same ballots that elected Joe Biden are the ones questioning them. So are they questioning their own legitimacy too? It happens on both sides. It's just a lot. There's just a lot of preening and posturing that doesn't really add up to very much. And you just have to keep your eye on that bottom line number on the TV right now.
We've heard secondhand concerns. Republican Peter Meyer from Michigan, freshman who has voted for impeachment, now expressed concerns from his Republican colleagues. We've heard it from Democrats, too, saying some of the Republican colleagues are concerned about their safety, that they might be more prone to vote for impeachment. They're worried about the physical safety of themselves or their families. Did we hear anything like that in the first impeachment?
No. No, I mean, in the first impeachment, there was a lot of, the only thing people were worried about was kind of political retribution. But it's so different now. I mean, after what we saw happen, you know, with the Michigan governor and what happened last week and all of the reports that we're hearing about potential violence all over the country and the way this city is now a lockdown fortress. I mean, you know, if I were a member of Congress, no matter which way I was voting in this, I mean, you have to be thinking in the back of your mind, geez, they came for me last week. Who's going to be coming for me next? I mean, I don't think it's grossly exaggerating the situation anymore to say that these people do have to, in the back of their mind, keep thinking about their physical safety.
So what are you watching for now, this House vote winding to a close? What are you watching for in the Donald Trump saga, which you followed so closely for such a long time?
Well, I mean, I'd love to know what he's going to say about it. I mean, you saw, you know, earlier today he put out a statement calling for calm, and you know, it was saying no violence, no vandalism, you know, this, that's not what we were for. And you know, of course, both sides, the Republicans hold it up and say, see, this is what we've been saying all along. This is a peaceful president. He's promised a peaceful transition of power. And the Democrats look at that and say, gosh, that's what a coincidence. Just while we're debating, you know, his lack of adherence to the rule of law, he tweets about how much he loves the rule of law, or not tweets, but he puts out a statement. So, it's fascinating to hear what he's going to say about this and when and how he's going to say it. And, you know, and what Senate Republicans are going to do, because they're going to be on record now, and I think a lot of them are very uncomfortable with it, and especially if Mitch McConnell votes against, if he abandons ship and votes against the president, that could cause a number of other Republican senators to go that way as well. Who knows?
We'll leave it there for now, Kevin. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Kevin Sullivan is a senior correspondent for The Washington Post. He's co-author of the book Trump on Trial, The Investigation, Impeachment, Acquittal, and Aftermath. We talked to him about today's vote on impeaching Donald Trump for a second time, and the threshold has been passed, so the House has, or soon will have, voted to impeach the president a second time. We'll be covering this more later today after 5, and tune in tomorrow for more conversation about what happens next here on the Ideas Network.